Shit, shit, what are you saying, man? Another Canadian episode. I don't
Yeah,
know how I'm doing this, to be honest with you. But we got Saint Harris in the building, so say what's up to the people, man.
thank you for having me. It's
I'm
really
pretty
nice
sure
to
there's
receive an
no
invitation
photo.
for this.
Yeah, of course, man. Now I see you've been popping. I see like now we have some mutuals because I've been doing some of these Canadian podcasts, so that's probably why I'm
Yeah.
popping up in the first place. But yeah, tell me more about your fashion thing, man. So that's what you do. That's what people see on Instagram. We're trying to get a little bit deeper than that today. But yeah, man,
Okay.
tell me about CFS and what you guys are trying to cultivate out there.
So CFS, as we've defined it for right now, it's just a networking collective that we kind of are building with one another, and we're trying to reach and achieve different things that haven't been achieved here in Toronto. So we use our resources to help lift one another up. And yeah, we work together. We create fashion content. We create all different kinds of content, but it's mainly fashion content. And we put together projects. We're trying to essentially even become a production team. We model, we do a bunch of different things.
And how do you even get in? Because I'm sure there's loads of people who are like on TikTok randomly who are trying to blow up, right? That's everyone, right? Everyone's trying to do that. So
Yeah.
sure, you get that question a lot. So yeah, tell them why they can't come in just
I
like
was
that.
gonna say right now,
What
because for
credentials
one,
do they need?
I was gonna say for one, right now, we are still trying to formulate and become more of a well-oiled machine and a collective, in the sense where if there's a project coming out or we have an idea that we want to do something, like we want to create something, we want to be in the position where we are best suited, where it's like, say there's, for example, we did a shoot for the Kentucky Derby and we like put a little production video together. We want to get to a point where we hear about it maybe 2 days before, and then we can put together an amazing project, well edited, well recorded, all these different things, from the styling all the way to the behind the scenes to the audio production, all that stuff. We want to be able to do that in like a turnaround time of like 2 days. So we're trying to build our chemistry together. And that's why I guess it's capped to how it is right now with us, about 23 of us, where
Oh
we're
shit,
all
that's a lot
just,
of people.
yeah, it's a lot of people.
And to
But
actually get that synergy together is crazy, right? Because there's editors as well as models, right? So there's two different sides to it. So
exactly. So we are trying to get to a point where we're a well-oiled machine and there's no issues going along or nothing's going wrong. And we are good friends now, but we want to get to a point where we're like this. So
yeah.
it takes time, and if we constantly add people or even constantly remove people and all these different things, it makes it harder and harder for us to have this. So right now we just have our people, and we're working on being able to build that connection, not just in the sense of content creation, but even outside of that, being friends, being brothers, so on and so forth.
Like actually hanging out regardless of content, right? So I
Exactly.
feel like when you're working with people for content, it can become just that low key. Like
No,
I had a
100%.
friend who I started this podcast with, and he was like my co-host, but he was also doing like his own stuff, like producing on the side and stuff like that. And our relationship became just a podcast for like a year and a half at least. So that can definitely get in the way. Like I'm sure you guys have like disputes or like arguments about certain things. So like talk to me
Yeah.
about that and how do you resolve that shit?
So for us, like, we're all guys, so I feel like
Okay.
there's less and less drama, but there's also, like you said, disagreements and we butt heads. But what allows us to stay, I guess, centered or focused on what's important is our idea of we're coming from a place of genuine, like, interest or interest in our other man or interest of improving. So we're always trying to look out for one another. We're always trying to, if we do have a problem with someone, we're trying to communicate that. We're always trying to better ourselves. There's no, oh, this person's better than this person or this person, this and that. Like, we just continue to try to always be mindful of the fact that we're all in this together. We're all trying to get to the same point. And if one of us wins, then collectively we all win.
And obviously like that's kind of like what you have to say as well, because you guys are trying to be brothers and that, you know what I mean? But you know, you're the one with the accolades at the moment, so I guess that you have less to lose in that sense, right? Like people kind of look up to you and stuff in the group.
Yeah.
How do you even get into this position, man? Like, what made you start fashion content besides just being into fashion and like looking good and shit? Like,
for me, I guess how it started, which now that I look back on it, at the time, this wasn't my intention at all. But when COVID had hit, I was at home. I started my first year of university, but then I got sent back home because of COVID. So
back home is
I just
where?
Had a bunch. Say it again.
Back home is where? Like,
Toronto.
Oh, okay.
But I was in like a different city in Canada. I was in Ottawa.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
So at the time, like no one had anything to do. And a lot of people like were staying up, watching movies, playing video games, stuff like that. But my dad was kind of like, to me and my siblings, like, this is a golden opportunity. So really use that to the best of your ability. So I started studying like financial literacy. I started studying a bunch of different things. And in that time, I was also like, oh, I have all these clothes. My dad, he used to own a clothing store. So I just had like a bunch of vintage clothes and different things. And I was like, you know what, let me start exploring this style thing. And I guess even before COVID, I was starting to just get into style. I guess that's when TikTok was first introduced around 2019. So
yeah, and around the time when you go to uni and you actually venture out to another city, you're trying to like
exactly
find yourself and stuff like that, right?
Exactly.
So that's when you change elements of yourself. You're trying to like, you know the kind of demographic that you're going for, you know who you're trying to attract, like not even necessarily like girls, but just like, you want to attract that good energy, but also, yeah, the females and that too. So yeah. I see you do poetry as well, man. So I assume it's hand in hand. Like
yeah,
I have
a poetry account
too that I've been like, dibble dabbling. So yeah, why did you get into poetry, man? Was it for the girls? Like tell me the truth.
No. So how I started was, I remember, okay, so what I used to do.
He realized that it was low key for the guys. Like, he was like, oh, okay, so I actually did first, but then I actually
thought. Okay, listen.
It's a way to express yourself, isn't it, at the end of the day. Like,
yes, 100%.
Emotions and stuff.
So I will say how
certain demographics see the value in that more than others. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is.
100%.
That's what it is.
But okay, I'll be honest. So how it started for me was initially, like I like eyes. Like I'm eyes person. So what I would do, I'd like, if I was talking to someone and I like their eyes, I'd like make up a little story based off of like the history of brown eyes or blue eyes or whatever. So then kind of cultivating the like the writing skills or whatever the case may be. And then I remember I started writing more like novels and stuff like that, like children's books. I moved through that channel. And then there was this like website, I forget what it's called now, but they allowed you to post your poems and all these different things. So they would give you prompts and it would just help you write.
Like construct it, right? Like verse by verse.
Exactly. Construct it, but even just give you ideas to write about. So
okay.
I started doing that. And then from there,
was this around the same time while you're doing the styling stuff, like in COVID?
Yeah. But
roughly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. But with, I guess with the fashion stuff, it started a bit earlier, like let's say for sure 2019, 2020. And then with the poetry stuff and the writing, it was more like 2021, 2022.
Oh, interesting. So it's like you see the different avenues that you can go down with that as well, just as like a side hustle kind of thing, but your main
is
definitely the fashion.
Exactly. So how it actually was for me at the time was like, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I had all this time to like develop these skills. So I was kind of just dabbling in a bunch of different things all at once. And then I really decided around 2023, let me try and focus on one thing and see how that goes. And that was the fashion. So then that slowly escalated and then really started to snowball. And it became, I guess, what it is today now, where I can create content. And I guess I've built my own brand centered around fashion and creativity.
Why do you think people follow you?
there's I would say there's a lot of reasons. Like someone said to me recently, that yeah, fashion is like your thing, but people say that I look attractive and a bunch of different reasons. I guess I initially started building my like social media based off of like thirst traps and stuff like that. Like I would hold the camera.
Yeah, no, you have to though. You have to use what you got in it. You know what I mean? You have to, bro.
Yeah, but I would do that, and then I thought it wasn't sustainable, so I was just like, okay, let me try do something different. So that's when I started posting fashion content, and I started it like I would post pictures on Instagram, but I feel like everybody did that at a time. Like everyone wanted to show their outfits, but as I started posting on TikTok fashion content, that's when a lot more people started to recognize like my style or whatever the case might be. And then from there, I was like, okay, let me do this and do it on Instagram. And then I'd post like TikToks videos on Instagram, and then they started getting traction. And then I started building a following on Instagram. And then I moved to like taking TikTok seriously. So I started building a following on there as well.
Yeah, because you don't really see many Canadians do it. Like, I thought Canadian fashion was just literally copying UK fashion, you know what I mean? Like, tech fleeces and all of that.
So exactly.
What do you say to the people who think like that? Or would you say you're trying to be part of the movement to change that?
I would say everything starts somewhere. So I would never, like, knock the people who dress like that. Everybody's influenced by somebody or something.
Yeah.
And because Canada, or Toronto more specifically, is kind of like a melting pot, a lot of different people come from different areas and different countries. So it's hard to say there is a unique style or like a style that's been started here in Canada. But to the people that think that fashion is like that, to me, it just shows that there's this vast open space for us to grow in as like fashion creators here and really build a name here so that in the next 10 years, instead of people seeing, oh, it's tech fleeces and this, it's like, oh, this is not one of the major fashion cities of the world, and it started through these people and this initiative and whatever the case may be.
Yeah, man. So, like, tell me something that people don't know on Instagram about you. Like, tell me some hardships that you've been through, man.
Some like, hardships? I feel
like you're the type of guy to have gone through quite a few heartbreaks at this stage, even though you just finished uni. So, like, I don't know. Tell me.
Heartbreaks is crazy. I've never been heartbroken.
Never.
You seem like a deep guy, man.
All of this poetry stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, okay. So I guess to add to that or touch on that, because a lot of people do ask me like where I get the inspiration for like my poetry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the way that I see it is like you were saying, there's certain there's certain ways you can write targeting specific people. So I know that guys don't read poetry as much as girls do. So I kind of center my poetry to like the female gaze.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, none of those are like from my own personal experience. I just use specific passions to write words that I know can relate to specific people.
Mm.
So say for example, there was a time when I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life during COVID. So I used that confusion to, I guess, ignite a passion in myself and then use that fire to mold the words into the stories that I wanted to tell.
Yeah, no, I definitely did that too, to be fair, because it's like a way to get yourself out of this rut, isn't it? You have too much time on your hands in COVID, isn't it?
So exactly, exactly.
I guess that was the problem, right? Like, and you saw everyone just kind of like do whatever they wanted.
Trying something new. For the most part.
Well, maybe not even that. Most cases, most people didn't really stick to their side hustle that they started. Like over here, a lot of people just became nail technicians out of nowhere. And then like that stopped after 2 months, you know what I'm saying? that was popping up in the UK. And then also like we would buy like streetwear brands that were discounted or whatever, like on eBay and stuff, and then flip them. Like that would be a thing. Then everyone stopped doing that, for example. So yeah, man, like I guess people know that you're a deep guy. They know that you like grab from different experiences, but like tell me something stupid that you've been through, man. Like
That's the thing. Like,
what was the person who was before all of this fashion stuff like?
I was gonna say one thing I will say about myself is that I would say that I'm very fortunate in the sense of I kind of like when I was younger, I was very sheltered. My closest family or my closest friends were my family. Like, I never really had a best, like I had best friends at school, but then I would change schools fairly often when I was younger. So it was mainly my family, because my family, we all kind of just lived close together. Like, we'd move together, we'd live close together, we'd always spend time with each other. So it allowed me to build those deeper relationships with my family. So I never really had friendships. I never had like situations where people did me wrong or whatever. And I'm very fortunate. So I guess that even in itself gives me like a naive perspective, which I think is positive, because if you're thinking naively and you're thinking positively, like, oh, what could go wrong? Most of the time it'll go right. But that's the way that I see things. And I can learn,
I guess, from the to a certain that extent, you kind of have to think like that because of the fact that you haven't experienced as much. But in the same token, like, everyone nowadays, over the age of, like, let's say 25, they're all starting to realize that maybe I need to work on my relationships with my family and stuff like that and get those closer, because I've been focusing on these friends, and most of these friends are going to be temporary, right? Anyways. So that's the gift that you have. But then at the same time, it's like, you're probably going to get done wrong soon. And that's probably scary for you too, no?
I wouldn't say that, but I can give you something that I guess explains things a bit deeper. But because I moved around a lot when I was younger, I didn't have as many stable friends or friendships. Like, I had people that we'd build a relationship in 1 or 2 years, and then I'd move, and then maybe like I'd come back and visit, and then they say hi or whatever. But it was never I liked it. So like, even before COVID, or like when COVID hit, I guess that's when I came to a realization where it's like, damn, all these people aren't really my friends like that. They're not as close as I would like them to be. So that kind of affected me a lot. Like, I was always questioning the intentions of people and if they actually cared about me and so on and so forth. But I guess when it was really a big thing for me was high school, when in grade 9 and grade 10, I had just moved to a new area. So I had to build up all these relationships, so on and so forth. But then I didn't really like it, and I felt like I didn't fit in. So then I moved back to like a bigger city area.
Yeah.
And then
why didn't you feel like you fit in there?
People were very close-minded in the sense where like there's a ceiling, or like there's a cover for their box, and they just stayed within their box. And even though there was no lock on it and they could have easily pushed out of it, they didn't want to because that's all they knew. So that small mindset or small-minded mindset kind of, it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I had an opportunity to go back to like a bigger city where there's a lot more competition there. People are a lot more driven. So I was just like, okay, let's see what happens if I move into an environment like that. And that's when I definitely saw the difference in mindset from people. But at the same time, what I guess I missed out on was all the time that people were building relationships and friendships in the 9th and 10th grade. When I got there in the 11th and 12th grade, when I got there in the 11th grade, all these people were like clicked up and they're buddy-buddy and everything. And then
I was
there by myself. So I spent a lot of time
implemented it, and you have to like come in hot. And I feel like you're maybe not that type of person because you moved around a lot.
Exactly. Right. And it's not that I wasn't able to build friendships, but I wasn't able to build like those like four-year bonds.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because so, with those tight-knit bonds, you kind of have to almost expose yourself in terms of information, because I feel like when you tell people a lot of deep facts about yourself, then they're like, okay, cool, like I can trust this person more, and then that information can flow a little bit quicker, and then you get
exactly like, and then
and you probably
even adding to what you're saying with the bond is just that I never had any experiences to go around and tell people to relate to. I was, like I said, I was very sheltered. I never did much outside of like playing sports, or like having like watching the same TV shows. But even a lot of the times, a lot of the TV shows that people watched growing up, I never watched. So I was kind of just like, people liked me and it was easy for me to make friends, but I didn't make any like great friends or long-term friends. It was just all like very surface level. So a lot of the time I felt like I was on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and that's what high school is anyways, isn't it? It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to have my clique and then we're going to push away people who like rub us the wrong way or whatever, like
exactly
intrude in our peace. So I guess you had a lot of time to do other stuff, like listen to music and shit like that. So what are you listening to at the moment, man? People don't know about your music taste online.
I don't really listen to music. Like, people are really shocked by that, but I'd rather spend time.
You listen to like Alpha Gamma Waves and shit like that, and it, like.
I listen to like not a lot of podcasts, but like a lot of teachings, and I'm in my own thoughts a lot, and I feel like that allows me to create the things that I do. So
I think that's probably why you create, right? Like, that's why you need to create almost.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's good that you have these 23 people to push you, but what does that mean, that you didn't listen to the Drake beef and shit like that? You don't know what's going on, or like,
honestly, like, not really,
because you're from Toronto, bro, so you have to stick with your boy. Now, nah? Like,
like, I don't have a personal opinion on it. I did listen to music before, like, there was a point where I stopped listening to music, but I listened to a lot of R&B and I guess older R&B, not like 90s, but like kind of 90s, early
2000s. Yeah.
So like, listened to a lot of Chris Brown, Bryson Tiller, even a lot of
Drake and stuff like that.
Not as much Tory Lanez, but definitely Drake, definitely some Usher. And then obviously when I was growing up, like, there was like the Justin Biebers and all these different things that were, I guess, taking the world by storm.
Yeah, but, like, happier music kind of thing. Like stuff that just puts you in a good mood.
Not even specifically.
I'll put you onto a rapper from here, man. He's called Sam. Like, you probably like his vibe because he's more like sort of 90s, 2000s. So I'll send you some people for sure. He came on the podcast too. That's interesting that you don't even look at the beef and stuff, man, because I feel like that's like a staple. I've asked everyone who I've interviewed from Canada about this anyway. So, and they all have like a big opinion about it. So I think I can see why you wouldn't gravitate towards that, but I would think that you would go for someone like Kendrick Lamar because he's more like insightful in his raps. You know what I mean? Like,
I will say, like, I guess one of the reasons why I don't have an opinion on it is because, like, there's so many different things to talk about, and they're talking about stupid stuff. I don't know.
That's the reason why you like listen to stuff that gives meaning to you, or like maybe you can learn more about, right?
Exactly.
Like a passion thing, or like how to expand it into like a proper business, right? So
exactly.
I guess that's where your head's at, right? So what are you researching at the moment, man?
Researching.
What are you trying to do for the next couple of years, kind of thing?
For the next couple of years, for me, I feel like I just want to put myself in a position to, I guess, capitalize on the people that are like viewing me or tuning into what I have to say, and in a sense understand it more than just the numbers, like understand why people like certain things, why certain things stand out to people, so that once I get a full grasp of that, then I can start making my own trends, and I can influence people not based off of what everybody's interested in, but starting a whole new wave or all these different things. For example, someone like Kanye, there's a difference between someone being able to take what people are interested in and building on it, and then taking something that no one's even thought about before, starting it for yourself, and then years down the line, people are then interested in it. So for example, when he dropped his like slides, his Yeezy slides, or his Yeezy line of shoes with Adidas. When they first dropped, a lot of people were like, oh, these are so bad. Like, I don't understand. Da, da, da. But then now.
Yeah, people shared on them when they came out, innit?
And everybody now, like, especially in the design space, everyone is like stealing ideas from him or taking ideas from him. So I want to be someone like that where it's like I can set the tone of what style is going to be or things that are influential in the next 5-6 years.
And who do you think is up there with you? Like, who do you want to collaborate in the future? Like, dream collaborations?
Oh,
have any?
I wouldn't say, like, I feel like dream is kind of...
Not dream, but let's say, like, collaborations that are in your sight right now that you think you could probably do.
Okay. I would definitely say something with Timberland in the sense of, like, having, like, a Saint line in Timberland with Timberland or, like, a Saint colorway.
You have some of those already. You have like Saint lines with stuff already. Are you like getting there?
I'm not going to speak too much on it just yet, but I definitely am working towards a line with a brand right now. So we're in the early stages of that, but I'm definitely excited for that. And then,
yeah, because I saw you announce something, isn't it?
No, I haven't announced anything just yet, but soon and very soon, news will start to come out and all these different things. So yeah, for sure.
So I guess the research in COVID paid off then, yeah?
Yes, 100%. Like, my mindset has changed a lot. And I guess because of my age, a lot of people my age, they kind of...
How old are you again? I don't think we said.
I'm 22.
Okay.
So a lot of people my age are like, oh, like, you've had a decent amount of success. Why don't you go out and like celebrate that and whatever the case may be. But
it's not like, the thing is, people only see that 152K, right? That's what they see. They don't see that, like, you know, does this audience translate elsewhere? Like, are they going to come off TikTok and go onto like somewhere like YouTube or something like that? Maybe
exactly
in the future.
Exactly.
The collaborations. And yeah, it doesn't equate to money straight away. I guess you do like some brand deals here and there, but it's not going to...
Yes.
It's not like success, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So like... Say it again?
That misunderstanding. You must get pissed off at that a little bit.
No. I don't get pissed because like that's the whole perception of social media. You try and show the highlights of your life. So it's not shocking to me that people perceive things that way. But to me, it's more just like, you know, I know the full truth of what's going on in my life. And I know understand what my goals are, where I'm trying to get to. So if I were to understand that and then listen to other people and say, yeah, I do need a break, and they don't know the full story, that's like letting someone steer a ship and they've never sailed before. They don't know where we're going. Yeah. All these different things.
That's like letting someone take over the ship halfway into the journey and they don't even know where the destination is.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna ask you how you stay fly. That's one of the questions that are on here. But what's your favorite?
I can't answer that though.
Go on, answer. How do you stay fly?
So, I was gonna say one thing I realized specifically with my guys, like we were talking about, is that my perception of style is so skewed, especially because of how much content I create. So I say, for example, I'll post a picture and there's three outfits in it. And that's what the outfits I wore for that week or in the past 3 days or whatever the case may be. Because of how even out there they are or loud or intricate that they are, for most people, these are outfits that they'd spread out between like a 3 month span or a 3 week span, all these different things. So how I continue to try and push the bar of being style and or being fly and having continuous style that doesn't get boring is as I'm always trying different things. And that's why I'm very happy about my personal style is that, or one thing I'm very happy about with my personal style is that it's not just one style where it's like, oh, it's streetwear or it's like 90s vintage or 80s vintage. Or like,
yeah.
Exactly. There's such a range so that if I get tired of one thing, I can try something else, and I'm very comfortable in any type of clothing. Doesn't matter if it's super goth, metal type of style, or it's like business casual, always wearing a tie. I feel like I can style and work with any style. So I'm very thankful for that, and it works well for me.
Yeah, because then I guess your content would get dry as well, right? So like
exactly
people following you who are literally relying on you for fashion tips, which is
exactly
guys. I don't know what your split is, but I assume
it's that... I can tell you it's 60% or 66% guys and 34% or 33% women.
That's pretty good still.
Yeah,
so I feel like what you do next will be viable because of that split for sure.
Yeah, 100%. But
you're like the fashion guru. They're like, okay, please tell me what to wear next for my date and shit. Like, I need to look good.
I'm working on it. I don't think I'm exactly where I want to be in the sense of not necessarily recognition, because I don't create for recognition, but
yeah,
you know, I feel like anybody who's considered, I guess, a pioneer in what they do in their space, they look for credit to, I guess, show proof of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I constantly use that as a driving point to, like, people may know me now or know of me, but I need to, like, you know, people need to vouch for me or use me as vouch. Like, people need to use me as their go-to for every day and all these different things. It just pushes me to keep on creating and push myself to different levels and to be consistent.
Have you ever thought about quitting?
No.
I knew I threw it off with that, but like, yeah. Have you ever thought about quitting? Ever?
Yeah. No.
It hasn't been one moment where you're like, oh, you know, the views on TikTok today weren't as good kind of thing. I know you already explained the whole, like, I want to be part of this longevity cycle. Like, I'm not in it for the short haul. I want to do something like Kanye did. So I kind of knew what your answer was going to be, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, like,
the clip, man.
You're selling yourself so short if you quit, because say things don't work. Like, you only have to win once.
Yeah.
You only have to succeed one time. And then from there, your whole life can change. So imagine you're ready 99 days out of 100. And then the 100th day, your opportunity comes, but you gave up.
Yeah.
Or like you're ready for 100 hours and 30 seconds before, you're like, you're done, you quit.
Yeah.
And then you miss your opportunity. So you always have to stay ready.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true, man. People want to know what the best thrift options are in Toronto. So you might as well tell the people top three.
I will say, like, I just go to Value Village.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's, like, the best thrift option, but I just think I'm very lucky. So I find a lot of stuff. But I also dedicate a lot of time to thrifting. So
how much, like, what's your budget, like, per month on thrifting alone? Like,
okay, so, like, it depends per month, like, what my goal is with thrifting. But, like, I would say... I'll say April, because I was more consistent. I think I was spending upwards of like $3,000 at the thrift.
Fuck, man.
But the thing that I'm very fortunate about is that I'm making that money back and more with the stuff that I...
Yeah,
like with creating content, with reselling clothes, all these different things. It just makes it a lot easier for me for that to be sustainable.
Yeah, and with the whole thrift shop situation from your dad, were you able to sell those clothes on kind of thing, or?
I'm never selling those clothes.
Okay, that's
never, like... never, never. Those clothes have a lot more of a sentimental value to me.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, clothes now, for clothes now, like, if a brand sends me clothes, or if I were to buy something, or, like, if I see something at the thrift, like, it's just clothes.
Yeah.
But for my dad, that those clothes kind of changed his life and put him into a position where it allowed for us to be fortunate. So I just have too much of a personal connection to those close.
No, and it's obviously good because it like allowed you to even think that this was a possibility kind of thing, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Anything else you want to say to the people? You want to tease anything that's coming up?
Like we were talking about earlier, the collection is dropping, or I'm working on a collection with a brand. And once that drops, you'll definitely see me working with a lot more brands to have my own line of clothes for sure, 100%. And yeah, just stick with me. I got a lot more creative ideas. Me and my guys, CFS, we're going to do a lot more projects, and you guys are going to start seeing our faces everywhere. You won't be able to close your eyes without seeing us. Yeah. But thank you again for having me.
No, it's cool. Thank you again for having
me. I really appreciate you taking the time to, ask me these questions, want to get to know me.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, man. I'll definitely follow up because I wanna get into more off camera, obviously. Guys, it's been another episode of Kilimanjaro Podcast. St. Harris. We're doing episodes in Canada. We're doing episodes from the US as well. So we're gonna be around for a while. We're not gonna try quit, even if this video doesn't get views like that. Doesn't matter. But yeah, man. Keep sticking with us, and we're out.